Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com. And by the East Baton Rouge Parish School System, inspiring humanity through transformational learning in the classroom and community. Initiatives like Pathways to Bright Futures allow students to graduate high school with an associate degree or an industry-based credential, along with their high school diploma. More information at ebrschools.org. And by Three Roll Estate Craft Rum Distillery, crafting premium rum from their own Louisiana sugar cane. Three Roll is cane to glass.
From Mansur's on the Boulevard, we're out to lunch with Stephanie Regal. It's business, Baton Rouge style.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Regal. Welcome to Out to Lunch. Whether or not you've adopted them or invested in them, you've probably heard a lot in the past few years about cryptocurrency, of which the most popular is Bitcoin. More recently, you've probably heard a lot of buzz about NFTs, or non-fungible tokens, which are digital versions of artworks that are all the rage in sophisticated tech-savvy circles and sold online in cryptocurrency-fueled markets. But are you really able to wrap your mind around either of these concepts? Because I'm not, okay, just for full disclosure. And it's important to understand, is it important to really understand how they work, or should you just get in on the ground floor now while the getting is good? With me today to discuss this is Will Haney, founder and co-owner of Pelicoin, a network of secure cryptocurrency ATMs with more than 35 machines in 5 states across the South. Will and his brother founded Pelicoin in 2016 after playing around in the Bitcoin market for several years earlier, and Pelicoin has quickly grown to become the largest network of cryptocurrency ATMs in the Gulf South. Pelicoin's ATMs enable users to quickly and securely turn their cash into cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin or Litecoin and Ethereum. Will and his brother Brown are also working on a new crypto venture, which he will tell us all about. Will is a native of Shreveport and a graduate of LSU who has been involved with several business ventures and has lived and worked around the southern United States, Alaska, and Zambia. Will, it's a pleasure to have you here. Thanks for joining us on Out to Lunch.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
With me and Will at the table is Maya Parker, who is here to tell us about NFTs, even though she is just 15 years old and a student at Zachary High School, where, among other things, she is a visual artist and a self-described mature investor who says she is building wealth through the sale of her digital art as NFTs. So what exactly is a non-fungible token? Well, think of it as a traditional piece of artwork, like a painting, but it's not created from oils or acrylics on a canvas. Rather, it's a digital image made from a complex computer code that is paid for with cryptocurrency, which is also created from complex computer code. Maya got into the NFT market in 2021 and is already selling her NFTs, in some cases for hundreds of dollars, which is a lot of money when you're a freshman in high school, and it's a lot of money for a lot of people because there are a lot of digital images just sitting out there on these NFT marketplaces that aren't selling, and yours are. So this is really a cool story, and you're just a freshman in high school. Thanks for taking time away from school to join us here on Out to Lunch.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Will, start out telling us about Pelicoin, and I guess really the need for an ATM machine if you're dealing in Bitcoin or Ethereum or whatever, right?
Yeah, sure. So my brother called me in, it was probably 2013 or 14, and he had come across cryptocurrency and specifically Bitcoin on Reddit. And he'd been playing around with it, and he was curious if I was interested in investing with him, and I was. And so we threw a little bit of cash at it, and just like anything else you invest in, we wanted to learn more about it. And we discovered that there was a pretty big disparity in the early days between the exchanges, the American exchanges with it at the time were only Coinbase and Gemini and some of the peer-to-peer exchanges. So what Brown, you know, started to do, and then ultimately we had 5 affiliated traders that we all were doing, was a very simple arbitrage scheme where we were buying from institutional accounts on these major exchanges and just turning right around and selling it on peer-to-peer exchanges for a markup. And, you know, as the margins kind of dried up there and you know, we pivoted to Pelicoin. So we started buying these kiosks in 2016 and organically grew them to, like you said, 5 states, 35 locations. The kiosks allow you to use cash to purchase Bitcoin instantly, which if anyone who participated in the big rally in 2016 knows, sometimes it can take you 2 or 3 weeks to get an exchange account set up. So we were ultimately filling a gap where we were providing alternative for the exchanges.
So that's my question. Like, typically you would be on an exchange, like on your computer or on your phone or something. But if you don't have that account, then you can just go to an ATM, one of your Pelicoin ATMs, and get the Bitcoin that way.
That's correct, yeah. If you wanted to buy $20, $40, $60 of Bitcoin, I mean, you can walk up to a machine, pop it in, you have your Bitcoin in 5 minutes, done deal. So.
And it comes out on a little card or a receipt?
Yeah, so you have three ways to receive the Bitcoin from the kiosk. You can scan the QR code directly off your phone screen, and it'll send the Bitcoin to your wallet. You can create a paper wallet, or you can enter the alphanumeric address, and it will send it to the wallet address as well.
And then you could use that Bitcoin to maybe bid on or buy one of Maya's NFTs. Is that right? Sort of, or not really?
You would need to like change it to Ethereum. And so with Ether, you would be able to buy on my NFTs.
And Ether is the cryptocurrency platform that you use.
Yes, sir.
So this is so cool. How did you get into NFTs? And how did you even learn about them?
Yes, so I learned of them from YouTube. You know, every time I'm trying to like learn something, I go to YouTube first. And so I learned of it from YouTube. And then somebody really nice, a friend of mine, gifted me an NFT. And so from that experience, I learned of like all about NFTs, like what makes a good NFT and all of that. And so at first I was like not going to get into NFTs, mm-hmm. but just I think I learned from experiences better. And so that helped me or motivated me at least to learn more about it.
And what does make a good NFT?
Well, in my opinion, it's really the artist and the art, and that's like what makes a good NFT after like months of me being into NFTs.
And I've seen some of your art, and it's really very cool and very, very interesting and pretty.
Thank you.
How do you create it? On your computer?
Yeah, so I use a software platform called Procreate. You can download it on your phone. It costs money, though, to download it, but you can download it on your iPhone or on your iPad, and you can create art from there. And then from there, I just, like, download it, and I upload it to OpenSea.io, which is a website where I sell my NFTs.
And I know you've sold some of them. How are you achieving success in this marketplace? Because it's tough. Like I mentioned, a lot of people's stuff is just sitting out there, right?
Yes, and like a lot. There's so much supply. And then, you know, it's not so many people into NFTs right now. It's growing rapidly, but it's not so many people. So it's about supply and demand. And so what I do is Twitter is like the main platform, I feel, for people to learn of NFTs and NFT artists. So there's this thing called Twitter Spaces, and I go on Twitter Spaces and talk about things I'm passionate about, such as gardening, art, and then, like, different NFTs I may be investing into. And then from there, they may, like, check out my social media, my profile, and then I have, like, the link to my collection and a little bit of the whole thread about me. And so then they may decide to buy my NFTs. And so, like I said, I think art and the artists are very important. So I just make sure that they know a lot about me as an artist, and also I give them the link to my art. And so that's what I do.
Wow. I'm impressed.
It's incredible.
It's incredible. It really is. Well, and you're impressive in your own right. Tell me a little bit about where you see the cryptocurrency market right now and just the growth of Bitcoin, you know, the whole thing. Because it's just really exploded, hasn't it? Or has it been like two steps forward, one step back sort of trajectory?
It's more like two steps forward, yeah, one step back. But you know, what I tell people who are interested in passively investing in cryptocurrency is at no point has anyone ever held Bitcoin or Ethereum where 5 years prior it was worth less money than it is today. That's never happened. So,
really?
I mean, yeah, you can invest and the price may go down, you know, in the short term or even the medium term, but ultimately, you know, you zoom out and the price is kind of, you know, if history holds true to form, it's always going up. Yeah, I mean, I think that there's certainly growth potential in the market for speculative investors for Bitcoin and Ethereum and all kinds of other altcoins. I think what Maya's doing, I think NFTs are, I think this is the tip of the iceberg. I think there are some people who scratch their head and they don't understand it, and that's fine. But what you have to understand is that when people said, you know, 8, 9, 10 years ago, oh, you know, this blockchain that Bitcoin is set on is going to disrupt a lot of industries. That's what NFTs are setting up the infrastructure for those industries to be disrupted. And I was telling Maya before, and I'm not as creative as Maya is, but one of my very simple ideas for NFT applications is concert tickets, basketball tickets. You know, if you see people outside of a stadium scalping tickets, and you think maybe, oh, this could be a fake ticket. You know, having all of your tickets for an event on a blockchain or as an NFT basically is a very simple, you know, narrow-minded application of this, and it's gonna blow up, and it's really cool to see Maya, especially a 15-year-old, which I can't, you know, whenever she walked in the room, my jaw dropped. So it's unbelievable. I'm so impressed, but you know, she's kind of on the front lines of what I think this will ultimately turn into.
Yeah, and Maya, do you see yourself as like a digital artist? Is that the direction you would want to go? Or are you more like an NFT entrepreneur and somebody who wants to sort of follow in Will's path with really taking these sort of cutting-edge platforms and developing them for new applications and uses?
Yeah, I think I would see myself as an artist. And I think of an artist as, like, very broadly, like just somebody who puts out art, like a YouTuber who puts out videos. That's their art, and they're the artist behind those videos. And so I just see myself being an artist in this space, like an artist in technologies to, like, use it for good. And so that's what I'm doing. Like, my art pieces, you'll notice they're like all inspirational, mm-hmm. because I believe we need more inspirational art pieces that inspire people. And so I believe I'm just like an artist in the field of really empowering technologies that can help other people, and that's kind of how I see it.
And you said, you know, your art is drawn from inspirations that you get from what? Like walks in nature or at the beach or just social issues or family experiences?
It's mainly experiences. So I believe like experiences are some of the best investments you can make. And so the things that I've learned are when I see things, I see in patterns mostly. And I think that's why I like math. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I see patterns and I feel like solutions to those patterns, or just try and bring out the issues of some of those patterns maybe. And so I have these different one-of-one art pieces that kind of like, not expose the patterns, but like show those patterns and kind of the solution, or what I would want to tell the person who is like experiencing that. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what I was doing, what I'm doing with my art.
Do you know who has bought your artwork? Who Yes. your customers are?
Yes. So with the blockchain, basically, it's just like a record. So I know who bought, sold, traded all my NFTs. And so, for example, I have Brain Vomit, which is an amazing artist.
Brain Vomit?
Yes, Got he it. Is an amazing. He's or that's
you
what
heard
he
that,
goes
right?
by, yeah. And so he's an amazing artist with a huge platform, and he's just been very successful with his art pieces. He's one of my collectors, and so also had like the ex Google creative director who bought one of my art pieces. So it's all been really cool.
And wow,
I like that they love my art. It's so cool.
That's great. You were going places, girl. Who are some of your clients, Will? Who are your customers? Is there a profile that you can...
You know, people have been asking me that with Pelicoin for 7 years now, and I just don't... I have no answer for that question. You would think there'd be some type of target demographic that we would look for and kind of build our strategy and growing our network around that demographic. We don't.
Really?
It's all about volume. If you know, whether it be a gas station or convenience store, just kind of any place you see a lot of volume and people kind of passing through, you know. Anywhere you think that a traditional ATM would do well... probably one of our machines would also do well. So that's what we look for.
Where, and you have them located just at convenience stores? Or
yeah, mostly gas stations and convenience stores. Like I said, really, really anywhere that you would think a regular ATM would do well, that's what we look for.
And is it, are there challenges or dangers with it? I mean, security issues, when I say dangers, I mean like...
So, I was telling Maya this before you guys walked in as well, is that... Back in the day, my brother Brown and I, we had this arbitrage scheme set up, and we went to the state of Louisiana's OFI, its Office of Financial Institutions, regulatory body. And we said, hey, you know, we think we might be money transmitters. Can we get set up to get a license as money transmitters? And we literally got laughed out of the room. They said, you know, you guys are trading baseball cards. So that's not money, and you're not a money transmitter.
Wow.
And obviously, they've dramatically changed their tune. But from those days into where we are now, it's just dramatically changed. In you know, you tell people you have this machine that can turn cash into Bitcoin. back in the day, and still today, that kind of raises some eyebrows, and people would say, oh, couldn't you use that for illicit activity and all this stuff? But what we've had to do to be, compliant and commensurate with the risk we have is that we've had to apply all these different measures in place to what's called AML, KYC measures, where, you know, if someone goes to use our machine, if they're doing, $1,000 transaction, we're going to have to collect a driver's license. We're going to have to run that person's name against what's called an OFAC check with the federal government. We even can track the Bitcoin more or less through the blockchain using something called blockchain monitoring tool, to where if that Bitcoin goes from our wallet to, say, a darknet market, for example, mm-hmm. that would be flagged, and we can go ahead and close that account and file a report with the federal government. So we do have to kind of cross our T's and dot our I's much, much more so than people would assume, and we are what's called a registered money services business with FinCEN, which is the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. So there's all kinds of paperwork we have to file, and it's very, very serious stuff. So it's not as under the veil as most people think.
You're listening to Out to Lunch. I'm Stephanie Regal. I'm talking to Will Haney of Pelicoin and young NFT artist Maya Parker of Zachary High School. Do y'all really have to understand blockchain and blockchain technology to, say, have a company that has ATMs for Bitcoin or to be an NFT artist? Do you feel like you understand blockchain?
I'm going to defer to Maya. I think she actually may know more about this than I do, so I'll defer to you.
So there's a lot of cool companies such as his, or just companies that are in the NFTs or blockchain crypto space, that like offer solutions to people who want to be artists and create cool things in the space. So all you have to do really is just find those different platforms. For example, I don't know how to deploy a smart contract really using the blockchain and everything. It's very complicated to me too. But I use this platform called Manifold, I believe is how it's pronounced. And they allow artists to create their artwork using their platform. It costs like $0. Like, they don't make really any money from that. And so that's what I use. So I don't really know much about it.
I think even to kind of like, dumb it down from where Maya is that ultimately the technology that she's leveraging is that there's an immutable ledger that mm-hmm. no one can change. And, mm-hmm. and you see all these applications. Another application of it is you're starting to see some Central American countries who are using this for chains of title. So if you had the problem like Zimbabwe had in the 90s where the government's coming in and just saying, oh, yeah, my cousin owns this property, not you. This is kind of solving that problem.
Interesting.
Ahead of time. So there's no question as to who owns this, who owned it. It's all set in stone on the blockchain.
And we really feel like both of you and the industry in general, this is not a flash in the pan. This is the future, and it is here. This is not moon rocks or something.
Correct. Yeah, I think Maya would agree too. There's probably some elements of some certain, categories that will come and go, but the technology is here to stay. And I think maybe you'd have some people push back on that 5 years ago, but I think you'd be hard pressed to find someone who would say blockchain technology is a flash in the pan.
Yes, I agree.
Maya, I am struck by, you were so articulate and so poised and mature. Were you always a prodigy?
No, I wouldn't think so. I think I've just been learning a lot. I believe when I first started figuring out things, and I was reading a lot, so I used to read a lot. So I guess I've always been learning a lot. I constantly learn just so much. And so I guess kind of, but I wouldn't consider myself a prodigy. Just the person who like constantly is learning and like adapts with change. I think it's very important to adapt to change. And so, yeah, that's what I do.
Stephanie, before you came in, Maya, she said that a lot of people who are NFT artists are homeschooled and they have more time to spend on projects like that than maybe people who are or kids who are in traditional school. And I said, when I was 15, what stood between me and what she's doing was not time or how much time
right,
I had.
Right?
It's a whole different deal.
Boys, how to find beer. I don't know.
Right, exactly.
I mean, I don't know what movie you were going
exactly.
to. How do you juggle it with your school, Maya? Because you are at Zachary High School. It's one of the best schools in the state. It's a wonderful school system. But is it, are you really overloaded with school? Or?
No, right now I have like a B in school. I used to have straight A's, so I guess kind of went down a little bit. I have a B. But so how I juggle it is I used to have soccer and track usually all the time, and I wouldn't get home till like 8. But since I tore my ACL last year as well, and so I couldn't play sports. And so I've just recovered. Like, I got cleared for sports, I believe, like last week. So I've had a lot of time over the last 6 months, which mm-hmm. is like the same time that I started being into NFTs and getting into the NFT space. So over the last 6 months, I've had a lot of time because of that. So I've basically replaced my time with sports with NFTs and art and crypto. So that's how I juggle it.
So it really turned out to be sort of a silver lining.
Yeah, like everything happened for a reason.
That's right. That's wonderful. Will, you are not only growing your ATM network, but also y'all are developing, you and your brother Brown, a second company?
Yeah, so we have a couple other irons in the fire. So we have guys from the traditional ATM space. They have something called processing, which is where you'll have one entity who will go out and find a location, purchase the machine, put it in the location, and then another person who's processing for that machine, which just simply means that they're going to operate it for them. Well, there's a much larger demand in our space for that, because there's all kinds of, traditional ATM guys are actually, a big client of ours, because they want to get into our space, they want to have Bitcoin ATMs, but they don't want to handle cryptocurrencies, mm-hmm. they don't want to handle AML compliance, they don't want to deal with liquidity providers. So we're kind of taking all those headaches off of their plate and just doing that for them. So that's something we've started doing with a local company in New Orleans, and have grown that pretty significantly in the past couple years. And we also have another company called CryptoFlip, which is it's called a software as a service or a SaaS. But all this company is we developed an API, which is just a plug-in essentially that sure. this other software company plugged into their software to allow them to sell Bitcoin in their 4,000 stores nationwide. And so we're kind of in the process of getting their end clients to turn that service on and start using it.
Wow, fantastic. How big is your operation in terms of like employees? I mean,
so we actually we have no employees. So we kind of contract everything.
I knew you were going to say something like that.
We have no employees. We contract a lot of stuff out. I would say the closest thing I have to an employee is my AML compliance officer. But we use Brinks Armored for to pick up the cash from these machines. We use a 4G antenna provider. We outsource our marketing. So kind of all of the actual work that's required for our businesses, which is actually a very small amount of work, is done through outsourced work or other APIs that we develop to, for example, we have a software that buys Bitcoin in real time as the customers buy it from our machine. So we're not really exposed to any price volatility. Just simple little tweaks like that we try to figure out how to make autonomous.
Yeah. Maya, explain to me why, your NFTs are proving to be so successful. Why are so many other pieces just sitting out there? Like you said, there's just a lot of inventory out there.
I feel like I only have maybe a total of 45 NFTs out there. So that's not a lot of supply, because in comparison to a lot of other projects. So they have these generative art projects, which basically means they generated it with a computer. And so they didn't put a lot of time and effort into it, but it's like 10,000 from maybe 50 different art pieces or art traits of this like character or whatever. And so they do that hopefully to like create something big, but a lot of the times that's a lot of supply. And so you would at least need like 10,000 followers, I feel like to get it sold out. And so mine, on the other hand, are all one of one. I hand make them myself, and so it takes way, way longer. It takes me 2 to 3 hours per art piece, so it takes me way longer to put them out there. And then I also have like 2,000 followers, so that's like a little bit of supply for so much demand.
Do you think that, how important is quality in the success of NFT, right? I mean, like your artwork is something, like you say, that clearly, but if somebody's just churning out 10,000 of these on a computer, maybe the simple fact is they're just not that good. Maybe nobody really wants them.
Yeah, so I think quality is very important. So actually a kid from my school asked me she was like, so I have to put 10,000 art pieces out there? Because she saw on TikTok, basically everyone's putting out 10,000K collections. But mine is just like 38, so I have to explain to people quality is like the most important thing, not the quantity. Mm-hmm. And so I've been able to make a good bit. And I think those 10K collections, when they sell out, they make maybe $100K to a couple million dollars. And so with 38 rather than 10,000 art pieces, I've been able to make like 10 grand, more than 10 grand. So it's more about the quality.
Do most of your friends and peers at school really get what you're doing and engage with you around it?
They ask me a lot. I think they want to get it, but they don't. And so the example I give to them, or maybe they push back a little bit on some of the things I'm saying. It's like, what is an NFT? When people say, what is an NFT, the person who answers it, they always start with like a non-fungible token. But that doesn't really explain it to kids, at least. And so what I have to explain to them, it's basically how on Roblox, which is a game they all play, Robux is like the currency to buy these NFTs. And so the platform is like the blockchain. It's the place where you can the platform is like OpenSea, which is like a place where you can buy, or the blockchain, the place where you can buy all the NFTs. And then Roblox digital items, the legendary rare items, etc., is the place where you can, is basically the NFTs. It's the digital items, and that can mean any type of digital item, and some are more rare than others. So that's how I try and explain it to them.
Wow. This has been such a fascinating discussion. And Maya Parker and Will Haney, I wish we could keep going for another hour, because y'all are in such an exciting space and so impressive. And you've both done a really great job helping us understand what cryptocurrency and NFTs are all about and how they work. And it's the future, but it's here. And it's great to know that y'all are right here in Baton Rouge, young entrepreneurs on the cutting edge. And it's been a pleasure to have you here on Out to Lunch. Thanks so much for taking time to be here today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having me.
My guests today on Out to Lunch have been Will Haney of Pelacoin and Maya Parker, a high school student and NFT artist at Zachary High. We had to edit this show to fit into our time slot here on WRKF. You can hear our unedited conversation and learn more about Pelacoin and Maya Parker by going to our Out to Lunch Baton Rouge podcast. You can find and subscribe to the Out to Lunch Baton Rouge podcast anywhere you get podcasts and on our website. It's batonrouge.la. If you want to know what we all look like, you can find photos from this show on itsbatonrouge.la and on our Out to Lunch Baton Rouge social media. Photos are taken by Eric Otts, and you can find more of Eric's photos on Instagram at @acro, that's @acreaux. Out to Lunch is a production of INO Broadcasting for itsbatonrouge.la and WRKF 89.3 FM. The producer of our show is Grant Morris. Our technical producer is Eric Merle. Today's show was engineered by JT O'Neill. Our associate producer is Peter Rusciuti, and our Baton Rouge business consultants are Charlie D'Agostino and Ann Edelman. I'm Stephanie Riegel. Thanks for joining me. I look forward to meeting you around the table at Mansour's again next week for more business Baton Rouge style on Out to Lunch.
Out to Lunch Baton Rouge is recorded live over lunch at Mansour's on the Boulevard in Baton Rouge. Mansour's is open for lunch daily, 11 to 2, for dinner nightly, and for brunch on Saturdays and Sundays. Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com. And by the East Baton Rouge Parish School System, inspiring humanity through transformational learning in the classroom and community. Initiatives like Pathways to Bright Futures allow students to graduate high school with an associate degree or an industry-based credential, along with their high school diploma. More information at ebrschools.org. And by Three Roll Estate Craft Rum Distillery, crafting premium rum from their own Louisiana sugarcane. Three Roll is cane to glass. Mitchell Foreman wrote and performs all the music on Out to Lunch. You can hear Mitchell's music anywhere great jazz is sold or streamed, and at MitchellForeman.com.